The David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, you know what that music means. I just picture David Roddy like entering a WWE arena with this music on and just go, I mean, yeah, WWF, whatever, WWE. David, you've watched some wrestling in your time, right?
I did. I did as a young kid, just for a short stint until, you know, my dad kind of crushed the dream and told me it's fake, but I enjoyed it while it lasted.
Who is your favorite wrestler?
Man, I'm a big fan of, you know, John Cena, as well as Randy Orton. Randy Orton was, like, in his prime when I first started watching, so really connected with him.
I was, like, right before you. I guess they call it the Attitude Era. I was in the Rock stage. Hogan was still going. I think he's still going. I think he's 99 years old. But, yeah, I was kind of in that era right before you. And then I still watched it, even though I knew it was fake. So I feel like a terrible human being, but I did. And I finally gave it up a few years ago. But, yeah, I stuck with it. It was terrible.
Man, I'm proud of you for doing that. I couldn't do it after, you know, when I was like 6 years old, and I couldn't do it anymore. So, yeah, kudos to you.
I hung in a little bit too long there, and then it just got ridiculous. But, hey, it's good to know. Now we can connect on some of that at some point. David, my man, I was there on Saturday, and it was a weird weekend, right? It's Thanksgiving week, so not a lot of students in Moby. But Moby Madness was alive and well. That place was rocking on a Saturday at noon. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. You know, kudos to, you know, the Ram fans all around Fort Collins and Colorado for showing up. You know, the students weren't there a lot, but, you know, the parents and the families really, really showed out. So, and we definitely needed them for that win.
Yeah, it was a good game. All right, so we know a little bit about the Bears here and being in Greeley, David. And, hey, one thing we know about this Bears team is they can shoot. And when they get hot, they can be lethal. And that's kind of what you guys saw in that first half. But I don't know how you guys do it, David. In the second half, when you start making that comeback, you have this ferocity, this aggressiveness on defense. But, again, this calming force. You guys just do not look rattled at all, even when you were down 13 at one point.
Yeah, I mean, again, kudos to UNC. I know a lot of those guys. I've been, you know, playing open gyms with them since freshman year. We scrimmaged them last year, and we finally got to compete against them. So, you know, we knew coming in that they were, you know, a strong three-point shooting team. You know, Bodie, you know, had, you know, just couldn't miss. So, you know, they're a really great team. I feel like they're going to win a lot of games this season, but you know, again, it's just, you know, just sticking to the script and being disciplined and emotionally tough. That's really what, you know, the team, you know, relies on. So it was a really good win, a really good battle. But, you know, there's a lot of things to work on, especially, you know, in the beginning of the game, just imposing our will early.
Yeah, you talked about Bodie. Bodie, what do you do in that situation? Because there were times where he had some open looks, but there are also times where there's a defender in his grill and he makes it. And I'm looking at it going, how much better defense can you do at that point? So what do you do in that situation? Is that just like you shake your head and you got to do it the next time down, or we just got to try to stop everybody else?
Yeah, it's just, you know, you shake your head and you know, tip your hat to him. You know, our goal was, you know, after he hit a few, was to just get him off the line as much as possible and make him, you know, shoot two-pointers. I feel like they were, you know, they had a really low percentage that game on two-point field goals. So, you know, most of their points came off of threes that game. So just trying to make them, you know, take a contested layup or a contested two-point shot was a win for us.
Yeah, 18 of 37. You're right. They took 37 threes. I mean, my goodness, that's a lot of three-pointers. But on the offensive end in that second half, talk to us about what coach says to you guys. Because I know we talked about that in a couple of games earlier, these monster comebacks that you guys are always a part of, or not always, but sometimes. There's something special that happens, you know, I don't know, 8 minute, 5 minute mark, something crazy just happens offensively.
Yeah, you know, again, that just comes off of our defensive intensity. You know, that's what we really focus on. You know, the offense will take care of itself. You know, whether that's through transition or through, you know, half-court offense, we can really score at a high level. So, you know, focusing on defense and then, you know, guys hitting shots. You know, we didn't hit a lot of shots in the first half, and, you know, we have a great three-point shooting team. So, you know, those shots will fall, you know, sooner than later. So we just have to trust it and get guys the right shots and opportunities to score.
We're catching up with David Roddy as a part of the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The Rams back at it tonight against Little Rock, and then a huge game coming up later this weekend. We'll get to that as well. But you said it earlier to start the segment, David, that that you get along with all these guys, you know, and Bodie says the same thing, that you guys all get along. But there was a moment kind of late in the game where it kind of looked like there was going to be maybe a little scuffle. How do you handle that, knowing that you like these guys, you're good with these guys, but when it comes to basketball, sometimes that just happens?
Yeah, you know, you just kind of hit it right on the spot. You know, just, you know, the competitiveness and the, you know, intensity of the game kind of boiled over a little bit. You know, there's a physical play and a little bit extra after the whistle. So, you know, I think I was in the back, so I was just watching my teammates trying to protect, you know, themselves. And then, you know, there's a little scuffle and a little push, and you know, I try to, you know, separate my guys, because, you know, if I put my hands on someone else on the other team and I try to hold them back, you know, someone might get, you know, the wrong idea that, you know, I might be getting physical with them, but I'm just trying to protect my team. So, you know, trying to grab Kendall as fast as possible, you know, before that tech. But, you know, Kendall's one of those guys that, you know, we'll sacrifice one of those just because, you know, we're trying to protect our teammates. So, you know, it was just a scuffle, but, you know, we're all, you know, good friends after that.
Yeah, well, and you could kind of see it when you guys were shaking hands at the end. It just looked like there was a lot of respect on both sides of the floor, on both sides of the team there. Tell us about some of these big moments for you, though, David. You know, 12 points, but when I look at what you did, you had 10 boards, 3 assists. There was 1 assist. I don't know how you made this pass. I was right behind you, so I got a great angle of it. Beautiful pass to Tanjay going up, and it sets up the and-one play. That was such a critical moment in this game, and what a beautiful pass by you that I thought really kind of changed the tone of this one.
Yeah, you know, it was a well-drawn-up play by the coaches. You know, playing the five-man, I didn't really get too many reps at it, so I was basically just listening to the coaches tell me what to do, you know, before I made the pass. And, you know, I usually am the one receiving the pass, so I kind of had the idea of, you know, what's going to happen next. But I think we were down 4 at that point, and John got the and one and, you know, made the free throw. So there was a 1-point game after that, and, you know, the rest was history. You know, Moby Madness was in full effect. I couldn't even, you know, yell at my teammates for ball screen coverages and everything. So, you know, but it was a great atmosphere.
Yeah, no question, man. That place was absolutely cooking. Talk to Chandler Jacobs. You know, I felt like defensively you guys really picked it up again late in that second half. It's just crazy how good defensively you guys clicked. And I thought Chandler Jacobs, man, he is such a quick defender. He can really keep up with almost the fastest of guards out there.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler's definitely one of the best defenders on our team. I mean, hopefully in the conference, in my opinion. You know, he's a great glue guy for us. You know, he has you know, a lot of experience, you know, playing a lot of high-level basketball. So, you know, for him to come in and impact the game the way he did, I'm just super, super proud of him, you know, for, you know, being who he is, you know, getting rebounds, you know, making the right play. And disrupting their offensive flow. I feel like that was a, you know, a huge step for us in the second half, and, you know, just kudos to Chandler for, you know, being him.
I thought your guys' depth, again, was so huge. I mean, we've talked about you. We've talked about Isaiah. We know the star power that you two possess. But the depth of this team, I mean, it just felt like, you know, when the Bears, they looked a little bit on the ropes, you guys just kept coming. And that bench, your guys are so deep on that side. Everybody's getting involved. Talk to us about that. And I know you said togetherness last week, but it's a special thing when you can just keep firing a new squad at this team, especially late in ball games.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, our strong suit for sure this year is just our depth. You know, just think of, you know, John Tanjay, who, you know, had 20 points last game, and, you know, Isaiah Rivera hitting big threes, and James Moore's being physical off the bench. It's like, you know, we basically have 2 starting lineups, in my opinion, you know, 2 good college lineups. And, you know, it's just a seamless transition, you know, and even the energy picks up even more, you know, when those guys come in. So it's just an amazing, you know, testament to their character as well, because, you know, they, you know, decided to stick with it and stay at CSU rather than, you know, leaving and, you know, trying to find their shine somewhere else when, you know, we can win a lot of games and hopefully a championship here.
I think that's a great point. And again, I love what you had to say last week when you just say, hey, it's the togetherness of this team. You could really, I could really feel it, not just see it. I could feel it out there just being at a game. You can feel it in the atmosphere with these fans. Everybody knows you. They're all calling you guys out by name. And then, you know, when you do get a scuffle or you're down by 13, you can see that there's not a lot of rattle there. I thought, you know, you and Isaiah being leaders of this team, bringing everybody together, it's a really fun thing to see. I was, however, David, I looked over at Nico Medved after the game to make sure his hair still looks good. No gray hair or anything. So these comebacks, they're not stressing him out to the point where his hair is turning gray yet.
Yeah, not yet. I think we passed that point for sure. I think we're done with trailing and trying to come back. I think we're just going to try to, you know, just get out an early lead and try to maintain it. So that's the goal.
It's Kyle. I don't know if you've seen Happy Gilmore, but his plan was just to hit a hole in one every time, and maybe that should be the goal. Yeah. Just get up by like 80 early and then don't look back.
Man, I wish every basketball game was like that, but it's definitely not. But we'll see.
All right, so we'll take a look at Little Rock, of course, tonight. I love the fact that we can talk to you before a basketball game. It's really cool. You're looking at the Little Rock Trojans. You know, they're 4-3. Obviously, that's a team trying to find itself at this stage. And then we know what's coming up this weekend against St. Mary's, a very good basketball team, a team that could be very deep in the tournament as we go along here. Is it hard for you not to look forward? I mean, I know you got to focus tonight against this team, but is it hard not to look at St. Mary's on Saturday?
You know, we've gotten a lot better at it, I would say. You know, Arkansas is definitely a great team. You know, the record doesn't really show how really aggressive they are on offense and defense, and they're super physical as well. So, you know, it's going to be a big test for us defensively. As well as offensively, you know, they get into a 1-3-1 sometimes and, you know, pressure the ball and try to force you to, you know, have as many turnovers as possible. Kind of like Arkansas Pine Bluff in a way, but they're, you know, more physical and more athletic on every front. So, you know, focusing on this game is definitely, you know, at the front of my mind for sure. But, you know, St. Mary's, again, you know, they're a great program. They're a winning program. Very, very seasoned veterans on the team. I think they kept basically everybody from last year. So, you know, they're a great team as well, and we're going to have to prepare for them right after Little Rock, but we have to take care of business tonight first.
Yeah, and that's going to be a challenge. Obviously, that's a strength for you, but that's a strength for so many teams, right, is they return a bunch of their guys. There's so many teams in college basketball where they pretty much look the exact same as they did last year because of COVID and the bonus year and all that. So something certainly to battle through as you guys progress. David, when we come back, we're gonna keep rolling with our new feature, Get to Know David or Get to Know Roddy. Are you ready for this?
I'm definitely ready. I'm excited.
All right, we got good questions coming in. So if you guys want to shoot questions for David, he also can kind of dispel things. We had a texter last week that's like, hey, I heard David didn't like basketball until he was like a sophomore. And of course, you corrected that. That's the beauty of this program. So if you want to get involved, text 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Load up those questions, and we'll ask David on the other side. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the David Roddy Show. Presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. They're going at it again tonight, looking for win number 8. 8-0, perhaps, against Little Rock on this Wednesday night. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It is the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The Rams looking for win number 8 going up against Little Rock tonight in Fort Collins. So Moby Arena should be rocking and rolling again, and some big games coming up for Colorado State, no question. David, my friend, are you ready for Get to Know Roddy?
I'm excited, man. I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. We got some questions. Let's hit it, Michael. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. That's just a walk in the park type music. That's fantastic, isn't it? David, the first question we got for you here, this one just from a 970 number, no nickname on it. I know this won't matter to you all the time, but they want to know, would you like to see UNC play CSU every single year?
Yeah, that's a great, you know, crosstown rivalry. I feel like that hasn't been, you know, promoted as much, I would say, you know, as well as the CU. I would say, like, in a weekend, you could have a rivalry week where you can play, you know, those two games in 1 week. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I had so much fun, man. It was one of those games where I think I'd like to see that all the time, especially when both teams are pretty good, right? I mean, I think that's that part of it always makes sense if they're good teams going at it, which, you know, like you said, I do think the Bears will end up having one of those better years as we progress. You guys are undefeated at this point, so it was a fun atmosphere, no question about it. Here's another question for you. Is there a player in the NBA that you would compare yourself to?
That's a great question. I don't think there's a single player. I would say multiple players. You know, just kind of think of people, you know, who are my size in the NBA. The first one is like Grant Williams. You know, he's a great role player for the Boston Celtics. He was a SEC Player of the Year, I believe, in 2017. So started to, you know, study a lot of him. You know, Draymond Green as well. You know, he can, you know, guard well and pass well. You know, but, you know, like LeBron's all-around game where he can, you know, get his teammates open and everything. So there's a lot that I take from a bunch of NBA players. There's not really one that I'll, you know, pinpoint to.
David, I feel good about this because I was talking about you the other day on the show, and I actually said Draymond Green-esque is kind of because you kind of have all of these things that you can do, you know, on the defensive side and the offensive side, and Green is one of those players that can kind of do it all.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. He's a winner, and he's very intense as well. So, you know, it's a great guy to model my game after.
All right, we got this one from Steve. He shared an article with me first and then followed up with a question. Julius Randle said that refs told him last night that certain contact doesn't affect him like it affects other players because of his size and strength, which factors into how he's officiated. And he said, quote, "I can't be penalized for just being stronger. That's not how you officiate the game." The question for you is, do you feel like you get fair whistles?
That's actually, I mean, I literally just saw that like 5 minutes before I hopped on the call. And it's very surprising. It put a smile on my face. You know, it's a tough situation. You know, I ask refs, you know, all the time, you know, about that, you know, certain situation of like, hey, it feels like I have to get fouled twice sometimes to get a foul call. And, you know, the refs are honest with me and I really respect that. It's just like, hey, like, it doesn't really look like you're getting fouled, you know, because you're so strong and everything. So, you know, I've been fighting with that, you know, my whole career. But, you know, I just have to play my game and, you know, try to, you know, finish through contact. That's the biggest thing, you know, that I, you know, love to do. So, yeah, I would say it happens sometimes, but I just, you know, me and the refs have a great relationship where I can just ask questions and, you know, ask what they see.
Well, there was a play on Saturday that I noticed too. I mean, it was late in the game. You're going up for a dunk, and I think it was Kuor Jokic there. And I mean, I saw a hand there on it. I mean, slapping right at yours. It was a pretty obvious one from the stands. I kind of looked down and. I don't know. The refs just kind of said, I didn't see it. That's what I read the lips anyway. So how frustrating does that get when you know it was a foul, when you can feel the slap on your body and you look and the refs are like, no, we just assumed that he would either dunk it and the guy wouldn't go up or whatever. They didn't even look. It was strange.
Yeah. You know, those are the ones that you just have to kind of just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, sometimes it happens. You know, the fall didn't hurt too much, so I wasn't really upset about it. I was just kind of confused on what happened. But, you know, again, it's just a part of the game, and it's part of my physical nature to, you know, go up for a dunk. And, you know, Kerr is a great defender and, you know, got a hand on it as well.
We're talking to David Roddy. It's the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Okay, this is kind of a fun one. Greg asks, does he know Chuck Norris? Do you know Chuck Norris, David? Do you know of Chuck Norris?
Yes, I definitely know of Chuck Norris.
He wants to know who would win a push-up contest between you and Chuck Norris.
I am not really good at push-ups, so I'll give that crown to Chuck.
You're not good at push-ups, dude? I imagine you can. I would assume you could put some push-ups. I bet you got the bench press rolling, though. I bet you got the bench really cooking.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, that's the football side of me for sure. We did bench a lot, so you know, the difference from 185 and 225 is very, very different.
Wait, you played football, David? I did not know that.
I know. Yeah, I used to play football.
All right. Okay, here's one for you. Maybe you'll appreciate this one. Headband or no headband? Are you going to keep with it?
Yeah, I'm going to keep with it for now. We'll see how many times I can wear it and pull it off, but, you know, we'll see.
What goes into that decision? Because I always see players, they'll do it, they do it for a long time, then suddenly they're without it, and then they go back to it. What goes into that decision? Or is it just, you know what, I feel like wearing a headband tonight?
You know, I have a different hairstyle right now. I just have some braids in, so trying to let my hair grow out a little bit. So, you know, as long as the braids are in, I'll wear a headband. As soon as they're out, I'll probably get rid of the headband, to be honest.
Hey, I got to say, man, I like the look. I thought it was fantastic the first time I saw you in that look, and it was good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, so you'll keep the headband for as long as that, you know, just kind of see and gauge it out there. But, man, no, I think that's great. So on that side, we had one more. How much can you bench press again, David?
Max, I have, let's see, I think 295 or 300 for one rep, I think.
Wow. Do you guys do, how much of that do you do? Because, I mean, again, you look like you're bench pressing. I mean, you're just a big guy, a big body out there. How much of that is how much of the real hardcore lifting do you have as far as incorporated into your workouts?
You know, it's a little bit different for basketball players. You know, in the summer, that's when we really do our heavy lifting and everything. And, you know, that's maybe we'll sprinkle in some one rep maxes of that sort of squat, deadlift, and bench. But, you know, it's definitely tough, you know, just because that's not really what is needed for basketball. You know, we just need more, you know, explosive work as well as, you know, not as heavy lifting as football players. So, yeah, it's definitely tough to get, you know, those one rep maxes like everybody, you know, dreams about. But, you know, we get stronger, but it's just in different ways.
Yeah, I would imagine. But that's a huge number, especially when you're not focusing on that all the time. All right, that does it. Those were good questions. I didn't get to all of them, but we'll save some of them for next week, David. But so far, so good. I like them. They're not bad questions.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, I love them.
And we'll keep them coming. All right, we got one more segment with you, David. I know you got to get rolling soon because getting prepared for another one tonight at Moby Arena. So we'll take a short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with David. We'll look ahead at some of the big games on the schedule for Colorado State. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
34 minutes after the hour, just a few minutes left here of the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. David, we really appreciate you doing this, but also on game days. I know you got a lot to be focused on, and that schedule of yours is nuts, but we really appreciate getting your insight before a game, my man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's a interesting perspective on basketball, for sure.
No, we love it, and the listeners love it. They love getting into it. It's so much fun to follow you guys. Sitting at 7-0, rocking and rolling. You're going up against the Trojans tonight, the Little Rock Trojans, as we talked about. Now, do you look at spreads or anything? Again, not that you would mess with that, but do you ever look at, like, who's the favorite and how much you're favored by? Does that ever cross your guys' mind when you look at that, if you're dogs, if you're favorites, whatever?
Not really. I'm not really into gambling or anything like that, so I really don't have any interest in it. You know, I definitely get some DMs after games by, you know, out saying, like, that's spread, like, I hate you and everything, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look at, like, this game tonight, and you guys are favored by 20.5 points, and obviously that's a big spread, and if you're not looking at it, then I shouldn't even probably tell you, but I always just think that's an interesting thing if you're a player or a coach, and you glance at that, and you're going, oh, we're picked to lose, or we're picked to win by 20. I always wonder if that ever, you know, registers on your radar or anything like that.
Yeah, it really doesn't. The coaches do a great job of, you know, treating every team the same, so. You know, we have a lot of respect for every single team that we play, and we want to compete, you know, our hardest, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But we never go into a game, you know, looking at that like, hey, we're supposed to win by 20 because, you know, that's kind of a trap. So we just focus on, you know, what we can do best.
Well, and at the end of the day, all that matters is the W, right? I mean, we're not going to look back that often and say, oh, well, that was it's all about that win-loss record.
Yes, definitely.
All right, coming up for you guys, you got, to, of course, Little Rock tonight, 7 o'clock at Moby Arena. And then on Saturday, as we mentioned, you have St. Mary's, a huge basketball game, some Saturday afternoon basketball. And then you guys don't play again until December 11th. So, you know, take care of business these next couple of games, and you get a break. My goodness, it seems like you guys have been playing games every night.
Yeah, I mean, it's really gone really fast. You know, I think we're like 20% of the way done with the season, which is crazy to think about. We're only in November. So, you know, going into December and, you know, having that week of, you know, getting better and focusing on, you know, our games ahead is just it's going to be good. Getting into things.
Well, David, it's an honor to watch you, man. I love what you guys are doing. I love what your whole team is about. You really get that sense that not only are you a talented group of guys, but a really great group of guys too. So we're going to be rooting for you tonight, and then a big one on Saturday as well. As always, good luck, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Go Rams.
All right, go Rams. David Roddy, the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We got him out right when we needed to, right? He's got shoot-around. He's got shoot-around to get to, so we got him going. They got Little Rock tonight. I didn't want to say it while David was on the air. They're going to absolutely blow Little Rock out of the water, and then St. Mary's on Saturday. They got Mississippi State next Saturday, Tulsa. And then on December 21st, they play Alabama. So the crazy schedule continues. Rams fans, how long will CSU remain undefeated? They're going to jump to 8-0 tonight, but what do you think the chances are the Rams can take care of St. Mary's? I think that they will. I think it looks really good. In fact, I was looking at early odds and everything. And to be clear, I was not asking David if he ever gambled. I was just wondering if, you know, you look at those spreads and you say, man, we're favored to beat a team by 20. If that really, you know, gets into the psyche a little bit. But the Rams are, I believe, going to be a favorite against St. Mary's this Saturday. So, and St. Mary's a good basketball team. You know, they beat Oregon the other night. They've had some good wins. So that game should be an absolute dogfight. I'm really looking forward. I don't know if I'm going to that one, but I would sure like to. Kind of just depends on the old schedule, I suppose. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question is up, and it's another Colorado State-related question. We've been cooking with some of those lately, and it's not a basketball one, but is Trey McBride the greatest Rams football player of all time? Now, 16% say yes, only 16%. 83% of the Hooligans are saying no. There were some damn good players. I get it. You know, specifically, just look at Joey Porter. First off, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, was a stud player. I mean, some of the stuff that I get on the answers is ridiculous, though. Some of you guys just get so damn mad. Is this a friggin' joke? Not even close. All right. It's not a joke. I'm not as funny as I'd like to be. No, sorry. Wins and losses are more important. Great individual player. A lot of attitude mistakes, bad penalties that hurt CSU badly over the years that cost us wins. No bowl wins. Overall losing record. Might one day be the second best CSU player to play in the NFL. We do have someone in the Hall of Fame, but that will be found out at a later time. Okay. It's reasonable. Reasonable. Texter. I'm trying to go through these. Agree that he made some critical mistakes at very poor times. Can't blame that all on coaching. He knew better. And yes, some of those could speculate that they cost us a game. I loved his toughness. He definitely wasn't a softy. Yeah, not a lot of people think he's there. And the greatest players ever have more than two TDs. Okay. Well, I mean, whose fault is that? Tight ends don't run in from 20 or 30 yards typically. How many tight ends he's not one of those guys that's going to get that. You got to get him in the red zone. You got to get him on the goal line, but they didn't run a lot of those plays. Ram fan says, not even the greatest tight end, in my opinion. Interesting. And then Regency bias much. Okay. It's a question. It's a question. And apparently nobody thinks that Trey McBride is the greatest Ram of all time. I know the wins and losses are important, but How much can a tight end control of a game? He did his thing. I mean, the guy through the years was absolutely unstoppable. So to me, it's, you know, here's a texter. Steven says, had to think about that longer than I thought I would. That's the thing, is it's worth talking about. It's worth thinking about. Trey McBride is a monster. I think he's going to do really well in the NFL. I said, I think, if he's not a Bronco, which I'd love to see him as a Bronco. But if I'm looking at a place where he can shine quickly, I think Baltimore's a good spot for him. I know they got Mark Andrews, but the way that offense is orchestrated, two tight ends, you could have two number ones. No question about it. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. Before we do that, I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They got spine specialists, hip and knee specialists, foot and ankle specialists, hand and upper extremity specialists. They have it all. Go to orthohealth.com. 42 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Someone's winning $1,000 this year with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Find out how at 1310KFKA.com.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Time flies when you're having fun. Shout out to David Roddy for joining us for the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, typically on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. But it just depends on the schedule. I honestly didn't think we'd be good to do it today. But David is a trooper. Right before shoot around, he's like, no, let's make it happen. We let him go to shoot around about 5 minutes ago. So getting him out the door, ready to go tonight. Probably going to be a monster game by him. Probably won't even finish the game because I think they're going to run away with this one and get set for a big one coming up against St. Mary's. Man, this game Sunday night, it's absolutely huge. I don't know. Picks are coming up. I think I went 500 on my picks. Where'd I go here? Because I don't think I had some non-covers. I got the Broncos. I called that. I called Nevada covering against CSU. CU didn't cover at Utah. I called Utah to cover. They did not cover. Correct? Yeah. And then Air Force to host UNLV last week. They did not cover either. Or no, I called UNLV to cover that. So I missed it. I went 2-2. But the cool thing is, Michael, I know you're doubting me over there, but I'm 26-25. I'm still over 500. And I've got, you know, now it's mainly Broncos to pick from and then Air Force's bowl game. So I'll have that to look at on that side of it, but mainly Broncos. So the goal is, Angel told me that I need to be 6 games over 500 to be respectable by the time the Broncos season's over. 6 games over. I can do that. I think we can do that. But this, am I picking the Broncos to beat the Chiefs? Boy, we'll find out on Friday, but I don't know. I got to tell you guys, to be honest with you, it's kind of tempting. I think the Broncos, listen, if it wasn't for Drew Lock's interception, would the Broncos have flat out, I mean, they ended up kind of blowing out the Chargers late, but it wasn't like a blowout throughout. It did feel like the Broncos had control, save for that interception and maybe like 5 minutes after the fact. But then the Chargers were driving to try to tie the game, or at the very least make it a 4-point game with a field goal. Patrick Surtain comes up with the big interception. So the Chargers were kind of making this game, but I do think that if that interception's not thrown, Chargers have zero momentum, and maybe this game is out of reach for the Chargers well before the 5, 6, 7 minute mark in this one. The Broncos are such an interesting team, though. Which team are you getting? Are you getting the team that went up against the Eagles and lost 30-13 and just had no fight? Are you getting the team that beat the Washington football team but barely knew how to win? Are you getting this crap team that went up against the Browns that looked awful when the Browns had nobody, none of their guys at that point? Or are you getting the team that destroyed Dallas and controlled the Chargers? They're capable. they're capable of playing like that. But again, it all starts with the rushing attack. And now Melvin Gordon, I'm told, is out of practice today, which he's an important piece to what they're doing. Javonte Williams is extremely important. We get that. I mean, he's a sensational running back. And if he can stay healthy, look out. You might finally have one of those guys like you had in Clinton Portis and dare I say, Terrell Davis. You know that for the longest time, Denver was churning out running backs left and right. Good stuff. I mean, Shanahan's philosophy with offenses and offensive lines really took off. And so you could put Mike Anderson back there, Landis Gary back there, Tatum Bell back there, Peyton Hillis back there, Quentin Griffith back there. I mean, you had running backs that were producing that really away from Denver didn't do anything. I mean, Mike Anderson was kind of a household name for a while. So was Landis Gary. And then they go away, and they don't really do much with their career after the fact. Peyton Hillis, we know that situation. So the Broncos have not really had like a five-year guy. C.J. Anderson was a fine running back, but where would you rank him? Like, is he one of the top running backs the Broncos have had? When we're talking like top three or four? Because obviously you got to, go back in the days, Floyd Little and T.D. and Clint Portis. Those are the best, right? Those are the top three running backs in Broncos franchise history. Javonte Williams potentially could be the guy that really keeps that going, becoming a consistent running back. I do think it's important for Denver next year to sign Melvin Gordon. Kind of like that 1-2 punch. But if he's not playing against Kansas City, that's going to be interesting. 9.5-point spread. Anytime I see that, I typically want to take the points with the dog there. So I like the points in that. Can they win? Can they actually beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football? Boy, if you can do that, look at the rest of the schedule. You can beat Kansas City on Sunday night. You've got the Detroit Lions the following week. Should beat the Lions, right? Then it's the Bengals, and the Bengals are hard to figure out at this point. Now, they're sitting at 7-4. This has kind of got some playoff meaning to it as well, but they won their last two, but before that, they got smoked by the Browns, and they also lost to the Jets. They destroyed the Steelers and the Raiders 2 weeks in a row. So that's kind of one of those questions. Which team are you? Which team are the Bengals? So, I mean, it's arguable that the Raiders are fading. If you beat the Chiefs, could you win the next three games? If you lose to the Chiefs, could you win the next three games? I think it's doable. So you win this game against the Chiefs, you're playing with house money. You run the division. Wow. Think about that. That's how big this game is coming up on Sunday night. You've got yourself to this point. Now, it could all fizzle and the Chiefs could work you and embarrass you and you're back to, 500 and you need to win these next few games to make the playoffs. But we're there. We're right there. We're on the cusp. But how will the Broncos respond? Will they lose to the Chiefs and then kind of fade out of this whole thing and then we don't even really remember it and it's just a nasty ending? Or do we save some jobs to end this season? Does Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, and Teddy Bones, do they save some jobs this week? And the next, I mean, because I think if they beat the Chiefs, I don't even think. If they beat the Chiefs on Sunday night, the Broncos are going to be in the playoffs for the first time since 2015. How about that? This Chiefs game's huge. The last time they beat them was the Super Bowl year. Maybe it could happen again. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.